The first surprise was how quickly it was able to be developed, and that it was an exciting one. The second surprise was that we were happy with vaccines that were 70-80% effective, because that's a really good vaccine. But these vaccines emerging at the 95% efficacy was a very pleasant and exciting surprise. So that's about as good as a vaccine can get in terms of efficacy. So those are the positive ones. Some of the things that were more maybe not as positive was like the rollout. As a vaccinologist, I think of the hard part is in the discovery of the vaccine. This has been all uphill. And then once we hit the top of the hill, the vaccine rollout should just basically roll down the hill, right? And it really didn't happen quite that way.
I asked Deborah Fuller, now that there are multiple vaccines on the market and more on the way, is there a way to determine which vaccines are the best for different types of people?
I'm not sure that we fully know for sure which vaccines might say be better for certain demographics than others. One of the things that we do know is typically the elderly, of course, and the elderly are the most vulnerable to COVID-19, typically the elderly don't respond as well to vaccinations. So all of the clinical trials for both the RNA vaccines as well as these viral vectored vaccines have incorporated a cohort of people that are 65 and older to study how they respond to their vaccines, to compare those to the younger people. And what's remarkable in the data that I've looked at from all of these studies is that actually the 65 plus year olds, they do respond a little less well, but not dramatically less well than the younger people. And that's in contrast, for example, to our typical flu vaccine that we get every year. These new technologies look like they're going to actually work much better in demographics that traditionally had not responded as well to vaccinations. So, but you know, all in all, we will know more as more and more people get it. We'll be able to study the different demographics and really compare their immune responses and the efficacy of these vaccines and see if there's any differences. And some differences might come out. And if they do, then additional recommendations can come out and say, hey, if you're of this particular demographic, this particular type of vaccine might be better for you.
Then I asked about how long we could expect the vaccines to protect us from the virus. How often would we need to receive booster shots, as we do each year with the flu?
They're continuing to study the people who are enrolled in the clinical trials for months, and they're getting in now about 6 months after the immunization, and they're seeing that these immune responses are fairly durable, and so that's promising for sure. But we don't know for sure if after a year are the immune responses going to wane and therefore require us to get a booster immunization to sustain our immunity. The other factor is that, you know, we do see emerging variants come out for coronavirus, and we may need to update our vaccine to stay on pace with any new viral variants that come out. Right now, the current variants that are out there, the one from the UK and the one from South Africa, it looks as if they are going to be vulnerable to our vaccines. Our vaccines should protect against those particular variants, but it's always possible for a virus to eventually develop mutations that could make our vaccines slightly less effective. And if they do, then what's really cool about both the RNA vaccines as well as these new viral vector vaccines is that they're very easy to update and replace.
Fuller says scientists will continue to study how the vaccines affect people with individual health situations, people with reduced immunity, people with autoimmune diseases, for example, to see how they will respond.
Right now, all the vaccines are very safe and very effective, and they did enroll in these phase 3 trials, a pretty diverse group of people, but we really won't know that for sure until we get into millions of people and are able to look at the outcomes at a population level.
I closed by asking, when will we know it's safe enough to take off our masks and not have the fear that we'll contract the virus from or transmit it to someone else?
That will be once we can see substantial reductions in transmission in the population. It's being studied in real time. You can see this every day on multiple websites. Johns Hopkins has a wonderful website in terms of looking at the daily transmission rate. And we're going to hit a tipping point at some point. point, once we start to get enough people vaccinated, you're going to start to see that particular rate of transmission go down. When it gets very low, that's when we're going to be able to have a, you know, take your mask off party, so to speak. Yeah. But it will get there. And I want to assure everybody that we will get there.